I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, this is Democracy Now!
I'll start by making one thing perfectly clear. Donald Trump has my strong endorsement, period.
Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis join other former rivals of Donald Trump, including Ted Cruz, to fully back the Trump-Vance ticket on the second night of the RNC. Much of the evening focused on the party's hardline anti-immigrant policies.
Never before has an election mattered so much. We are facing an invasion on our southern border. Not figuratively, a literal invasion.
We will speak with reporter Jean Guerrero and Howard Professor Clarence Lussain, who says don't believe Trump when he claims he's not racist. Then a jury's convicted New Jersey Democratic Senator Bob Menendez for taking bribes from Egypt and Qatar.
This case has always been about shocking levels of corruption. Hundreds of thousands of dollars in bribes in the form of cash, gold bars, a Mercedes-Benz. This wasn't politics as usual. This was politics for profit.
And police coming in from Ohio for the RNC shoot and kill an unhoused veteran in Milwaukee, about a mile from the Republican National Convention. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report, War, Peace, and the Presidency, Breaking with Convention. I'm Amy Goodman. In Gaza, Israeli forces have killed at least 42 people in airstrikes on a UN-run school in Nuseirat and on a so-called safe area in Al-Mawasi near Khan Yunis. The Nuseirat attack, which killed at least 23 Palestinians, is the sixth time Israel bombed an UNRWA school in the past 10 days. This is a survivor.
Where is the safety for the agency UNRWA schools? There are no more safe agency UNRWA schools, nor safe clinics, no more safe houses, no safe streets. We have been left desolate, displaced, and destroyed. And here we are. What have the children done to deserve this? Where are the countries? Where are the people? Where is the world? What do we do with the wrath of mothers, children? What is their sin? What have they done?
UNRWA, the UN Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees, reports 70% of its schools in Gaza have now been bombed and over 500 people who've taken shelter in them have been killed by Israel since October 7th. Separately, UNRWA projected it will take 15 years to clear the rubble from Israel's destruction of Gaza. The Center for Constitutional Rights has filed a Freedom of Information Act request to access communications of the Biden administration related to the International Criminal Court's investigation into Israeli war crimes in Gaza. The group says it's focused on efforts by the U.S. and U.K. to block the ICC from delivering arrest warrants for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant. Lebanese state media reports Israeli air attacks in southern Lebanon have killed at least five Syrian civilians, including three children. Israeli military and Hezbollah have been trading near daily fire across the border since Israel's war on Gaza began. In New York, a federal jury Tuesday convicted New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez of corruption on all 16 counts he faced. The disgraced Democrat, once head of the powerful Senate Foreign Relations Committee, was found guilty of bribery, wire fraud, extortion, obstruction of justice, conspiracy, and acting as a foreign agent for Egypt. This is Prosecutor Damian Williams speaking after yesterday's verdict.
This case has always been about shocking levels of corruption. Hundreds of thousands of dollars in bribes in the form of cash, gold bars, a Mercedes-Benz. This wasn't politics as usual, this was politics for profit. And now that a jury has convicted Bob Menendez, his years of selling his office to the highest bidder have finally come to an end.
Two Menendez associates, New Jersey businessman Wael Hanna and Fred Davies, were also found guilty on all counts. Senator Menendez's wife, Nadine Menendez, was also charged in the corruption schemes, but has not yet been tried. Senator Menendez faces years in prison when he's sentenced in October. Eight of his convictions carry possible 20-year sentences. Democrats are calling on Menendez to resign, which would allow New Jersey's Democratic Governor Phil Murphy to fill his vacant seat. If Menendez refuses to resign, he could face expulsion by his fellow senators. Here in Milwaukee, activists and community members gathered in the streets to condemn the police killing Tuesday of 43-year-old Milwaukee resident Samuel Sharp. The officers who killed Sharp, an unhoused black veteran, are from Ohio and are in Wisconsin as part of a group of 4,500 law enforcement officials in Milwaukee for the RNC. But the shooting took place a mile from the RNC's proceedings. Sharp appeared to be in the middle of an altercation with another man when the police officers charged towards him before fatally shooting him. Separately, community members on Tuesday rallied outside Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm's house, demanding justice for Devante Mitchell, the 43-year-old black father who was killed by security guards last month when they pinned Mitchell to the ground outside the Hyatt Regency Hotel in downtown Milwaukee. We'll have more on these stories later in the broadcast. In more news from Milwaukee, anti-immigrant hate speech and misinformation about the U.S.-Mexico border took center stage on the second day of the Republican National Convention. Several of Donald Trump's former rivals took to the stage, including former U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, Texas Senator Ted Cruz, and Vivek Ramaswamy. Many lashed out at Vice President Kamala Harris, saying she and Biden have enforced open border policies that have led to a wave of what Trump's campaign describes as a migrant crime epidemic. There's no data linking immigrants to rising crime. Meanwhile, Senator Cruz falsely claimed immigrants kill U.S. citizens every damn day, he said, while many remarks scapegoated asylum seekers for the smuggling of fentanyl across the southern border. Evidence shows fentanyl is largely smuggled by U.S. citizens across U.S. ports of entry. We'll have more on the RNC after headlines. California Congress member Adam Schiff warned donors Democrats would lose the presidency, control of the Senate, and miss out on the chance to reclaim the House unless President Biden steps aside. Adam Schiff, who's running for California's U.S. Senate seat in November, made the comments during a private fundraising dinner in New York, according to new reports. Despite mounting fears over Biden's ability to beat Trump, Democrats appear to be moving ahead with plans to hold a virtual vote confirming Biden as their nominee weeks before the DNC. We'll have more on that at democracynow.org. In housing news, President Biden has unveiled a plan to limit annual rent increases to more than 5%, to no more than 5%. Landlords who fail to comply would lose their tax benefits. The rule would apply to corporate landlords who control at least 50 units, which amounts to roughly half the rental market, or 20 million units nationwide. Democrats would likely need to control Congress in order for the proposal to pass. Biden outlined the plan during a speech before the NAACP Tuesday, but mistakenly said he was capping rent increases at $55 instead of 5%.
The idea that corporate-owned housing is able to raise your rent $300-$400 a month or something, under what I'm about to announce, they can't raise it more than $55. $55.
Progressive Texas Congress member Greg Kassar has challenged his Republican counterparts to prove their commitment to workers by backing union-boosting legislation. In a social media post, Kassar wrote, quote, "If Republicans want to talk like they're pro-worker, then let's have a vote on the PRO Act next week. Let's see which politicians are for unions and which ones are all talk," he said. This comes as Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance attempts to court working class voters and after Teamster President Sean O'Brien addressed the RNC Monday. Other union leaders, meanwhile, are warning voters not to succumb to fake worker appeals by the Republican Party. AFL-CIO President Liz Shuler said, quote, "A Trump-Vance White House is a corporate CEO's dream and a worker's nightmare," she said. While CEIU President April Verrett warned, quote, "Vance's loyalties lie with the Wall Street bankers and Silicon Valley billionaires who've bankrolled his political career," unquote. In Kenya, at least one person was killed in a fresh wave of youth-led anti-government protests demanding President William Ruto resign. At least 50 people have been killed since protests broke out last month in response to a now-withdrawn tax bill. This is a protester in Mombasa.
We are still protesting because Ruto could have easily dissolved this from the first week. He would have signed off his people from the first week. He would have stepped down from the first week. But he's waited this long. All these people have died, all this life loss. And still, he cannot see the bigger impact he's creating on the country.
In other news from Kenya, hundreds more national police officers were deployed to Haiti this week as part of a UN-backed security mission. Federal prosecutors have started to offer new plea deals and drop more serious charges against January 6th insurrectionists following last month's Supreme Court ruling that limited the use of felony obstruction of Congress charges against a rioter. Those expected to benefit include members of the extreme right Oath Keepers and Proud Boys. Over 250 January 6th defendants could seek to vacate their obstruction convictions or charges. Many of them, however, were also charged with other felonies. And in other Supreme Court news, President Biden's reportedly preparing to endorse major changes to the nation's highest court, including establishing term limits and an enforceable code of ethics. Biden is also reportedly considering a call for a constitutional amendment that would eliminate broad immunity for presidents and other officials. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, War, Peace, and the Presidency. We're breaking with convention. Coming up, we look at how Donald Trump and the Republican Party are vowing to carry out the largest deportation program in U.S. history. Stay with us. Dream by Neo Boys. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. War, Peace, and the Presidency. Breaking with convention. I'm Amy Goodman. We're broadcasting from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, from the Republican National Convention. On Tuesday night, several of Donald Trump's former rivals endorsed the Trump-Vance ticket. Speakers at the RNC included former Ambassador Nikki Haley, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, Texas Senator Ted Cruz, and Vivek Ramaswamy. Much of the evening focused on the party's hardline border and immigration policies. The 2024 Republican platform backs Trump's pledge to carry out, quote, the largest deportation operation in American history, unquote, and to stop what it calls a migrant crime epidemic. This is Texas Senator Ted Cruz speaking last night.
Never before has an election mattered so much. We are facing an invasion on our southern border. Not figuratively, a literal invasion. 11.5 million people have crossed our border illegally under Joe Biden. Every day, Americans are dying, murdered, assaulted, raped by illegal immigrants that the Democrats have released. Teenage girls and boys wearing colored wristbands are being sold into a life of sex slavery. This is evil, and it's wrong. And it is happening every damn day. Today, as a result of Joe Biden's presidency, your family is less safe. Your children are less safe. The country is less safe. But here's the good news. We can fix it. And when Donald Trump is president, we will fix it.
That was Republican Texas Senator Ted Cruz speaking here in Milwaukee at the Republican National Convention last night. There's no data linking immigrants to rising crime. For more, we're joined by Gene Guerrero, contributing opinion writer for The New York Times, author of the book Hate Monger, Stephen Miller, Donald Trump, and the White Nationalist Agenda. Her latest piece is headlined, How Biden Can Win Over Young Latinos. She's a senior fellow at the UCLA Latina Futures 2050 Lab and a former opinion columnist at the Los Angeles Times. She's joining us from Los Angeles. Gene, welcome back to Democracy Now! Why don't you summarize your response to what Ted Cruz was saying in particular, and overall, the theme of last night was the issue of immigration and safety, as they put it, immigration and crime. Gene.
Exactly. Great to be here, Amy. What we saw last night was the politics of hate. The Republican Party is not letting up on its deceptive anti-immigrant hate mongering. Again, this is a politics of hate that is rooted in the deceptive demonization of one of the most vulnerable groups in the United States, which is immigrants. And Texas Senator Ted Cruz's speech was one of the most debased and deceptive of the week. He listed example after example of Americans being killed by immigrants, which, as you noted, Amy, immigrants are far less likely to commit crimes than people who are born in the United States. Data consistently shows this. But this is a strategy that has been used by Trump, and it's straight out of the playbook of Trump's senior advisor, Stephen Miller, which is to take aberrant examples, unusual examples of crimes, and to paint them as the norm. This is a strategy that was used by the Nazis to vilify Jewish people and other groups that they didn't like. They published lists of crimes committed by these people to create the false notion that these are monsters, that they're subhuman, that they're a threat to society. And this is what we saw last night, that even in the wake of Trump's assassination attempt, the Republican Party is not letting up on its anti-immigrant hate mongering, on its very dangerous and deceptive rhetoric, which is not surprising given that when Trump was shot, he was in the middle of anti-immigrant hate mongering. If he hadn't turned to look at that chart showing border crossing statistics, he might be dead. So as the Republican Party is painting Trump as the victim of demonization by the left, Trump and the Republican Party continue with its classic anti-immigrant hate mongering, which is endangering this group of people and Latinos across the United States who come from mixed status families.
And we should say, as Senator Cruz spoke, as Nikki Haley spoke, as our next clip we're going to play of a mom who lost her son to fentanyl spoke, President Clinton was there sitting next to J.D. Vance, his family. Rather, President Trump was there. And President Trump had a bandage over his right ear after Saturday's assassination attempt. I want to go to another speaker at the RNC last night, and that was Ann Funder of Southern California, who said her son Weston's fentanyl overdose death was because Biden opened, quote, our borders. This is a clip.
We did everything right. I had those conversations with him, and fentanyl still found my son. And on February 27th, 2022, our lives were shattered and our baby was gone. This was not an overdose, it was a poisoning. His whole future, everything we ever wanted for him, was ripped away in an instant. And Joe Biden does nothing. I hold Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, the borders are, what a joke, and Gavin Newsom and every Democrat who supports open borders responsible for the death of my son.
In fact, data shows fentanyl is largely smuggled by U.S. citizens across U.S. ports of entry. Jean Guerrero, this is a statistic that you talk about. The statistic is 90%?
Exactly. About 90% of fentanyl is actually smuggled through ports of entry, not through the desert, and it's smuggled by U.S. citizens, not by immigrants. So the Republican Party is misusing a legitimate tragedy to manipulate perceptions about what is happening at the border. This woman's son, Weston, should not have died. It is a tragedy that he died. However, this blame on, quote-unquote, open borders is misleading, to say the least, because the border, first of all, is not open. Biden has deployed more Border Patrol agents than any president in U.S. history. They have had record fentanyl seizures under his administration. And again, when fentanyl is smuggled across the border, it is smuggled through ports of entry, which are always open. And the Trump administration also kept the ports of entry open because you have legitimate commercial traffic that needs to be coming across the borders. And that is where the fentanyl is being smuggled, not through the desert.
And can you respond to Senator Cruz saying that immigrants commit murders? I think he said every damn day.
That's extremely deceptive. Again, immigrants are far less likely to commit crimes than people who are born in the United States. They have a lot more to lose, particularly undocumented immigrants. The statistics consistently show that immigrants are less likely to commit crimes. And so this idea that they're committing crimes every day is just absolutely bonkers. It's a strategy that is very classic. Stephen Miller, my book was about Trump senior advisor Stephen Miller, and one of the things that they did under the Trump administration was they created an office called The Voice. It was for the victims of immigration crimes, and it was constantly publishing lists of immigrants committing crimes, which again creates the false notion that they're out there disproportionately committing crimes, when in fact that is not the case. And if you wanted to demonize somebody based on a statistical fact, you might choose, for example, the fact that white men are disproportionately responsible for mass shootings. But of course, you don't see anybody advocating for the mass detention or deportation of white men, because that would be crazy. And again, this is based on a completely false notion that immigrants are more likely to commit crimes, which is just not the case.
Carrie Lake, who's running for Arizona's Senate seat, left vacant by Kyrsten Sinema, kicked off the RNC on Tuesday night, lashing out against the media and her Senate race opponent, Congressmember Ruben Gallego.
You have spent the last 8 years lying about President Donald Trump and his amazing patriotic supporters. Actually, guys, they lie about everything. They've lied about Joe Biden's health, the economy, the laptop, the border. I could go on and on and on. But the really good news is that every day more and more people are turning off the fake news. And they're... And Americans are waking up to the truth about the disastrous Democrat policies pushed by Joe Biden and his favorite congressman, my opponent, Ruben Gallego. These guys, they're full of bad ideas. Just last week, Ruben Gallego voted to let the millions of people who poured into our country illegally cast a ballot in this upcoming election. And the Democrats have handed over control of my state, Arizona's border, to the drug cartels. And because of them, criminals and deadly drugs are pouring in, and our children are dying. Our children are getting their hands on these drugs and dying.
Carrie Lake falsely said that her opponent, the Congressmember Ruben Gallego, quote, voted to let millions of people poured into our country illegally cast a ballot in this upcoming election, unquote. However, she did not mention that it's already banned by federal law for non-citizens to vote. Lake is a former TV news anchor who lost Arizona's governor's race and has since become a face for Trump's 2020 election denial movement. Jean Guerrero, her comments.
Gallego is a moderate on immigration, and what the Republican Party does is, regardless of whether you are a moderate, which is the case with Biden, you know, he has, as I mentioned earlier, increased border security to unprecedented levels. But regardless of whether you take a moderate stance on immigration, they're going to say that you have opened the borders, that you are in favor of people coming across the border without any sort of security measures, without any enforcement, and that's simply not the case. But they're heavily leaning on this because they have nothing else to offer the American people. It's a scapegoating politics, which is rooted in stoking fear, in stoking hate, in creating the impression that there's a dystopic reality at the border, which simply is not the case. You know, Trump promised to shut down the border. And he was not able to build the wall that he said he was going to build, because it's physically impossible to build a 2,000-mile structure along the terrain that exists at the border. So President Biden is doing the best that he can, and Democrats like Gallego are in favor of moderate immigration strategies that embrace certain levels of border security, and the Republican Party simply takes that completely out of context, ignores that, and claims that they're in favor of open borders, which is just absolutely not the case.
I want to go to another clip. We're on the floor of the convention at night. This is another Arizona delegate named Stacey Goodman, who spoke with Democracy Now!'s Renee Feltz. Goodman wore a white patch of paper on her right ear, similar to the bandage Trump is wearing at the RNC on his right ear after the assassination attempt on Saturday.
I'm here to serve my community, my country. What I have on my right ear is in solidarity with President Trump. He got shot on Saturday. Somebody attempted to take his life. It was an attempted assassination, all because of the rhetoric on the left. Even Joe Biden said it and even apologized for it. He said, we need to put Donald Trump in the bullseye. So crazy people take that as meaning, you know, the hypocrisy is ridiculous, because the left says, oh, unity, unity, unity. But there is no unity on the left. Look what CNN did today. It said DJ Vance is more toxic than Trump. Where's the unity in that? No.
seemed like it's being reported that this young man was able to use a gun purchased by his father, and that the family, or at least the young man, was a registered Republican. So it seems
he wasn't a registered Republican. Okay, his Facebook page was wiped. He was not a registered Republican. That's just the narrative of the left. He was not a Republican.
What was he?
I'm not 100% sure, but he was probably mentally ill and easily.